music bed ever. All day long.
I swear I'm deaf today. I can't hear anything.
Oh, we're all going to be deaf. Tim's only going to be deaf in one ear.
Yeah.
Tim does the, Tim wears his headphones. You can't see this here. Tim wears his headphones Gary Owen style. So you only, you have the headphone on your left ear, but your right ear, you get the natural sound?
I get nothing out of the right ear.
No, but, oh, no, I mean, clearly.
Oh, I don't listen out of the right ear.
No, but I don't understand
it's
what you're
mind
saying.
Mind over matter.
No, but what I'm saying is,
yes.
Jesus God.
All
right, let's stop. It's 503-733. This is like when that guy was talking about videotaping the radio and playing it back. And we had no idea what he was talking about. It's 503-733-2970. With every day, CBS rues their decision more and more. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland, Oregon. As Sarah Dillon shifts uncomfortably in an over-padded bra. You can email if you like. It's rick at rickemerson.com. Rick at rickemerson.com. You should just pad your bra more and more every day. And just as like a social...
So you prance around the sales area?
No, yeah, you should... Well, yeah, clearly, if you're wearing a padded bra, this is the day that you should be applying for a sales job. But you should pad your bra more and more every day, and we can do like a little social experiment to see how you're treated by people.
Okay.
That's a great idea. I will not, you know, ask any personal questions about, you know, what measurement anybody may be now, but I'm saying you just sort of ratchet it up every day and just see how people treat you. This would be like our own little, it's like our own little psychology 101 experiment.
I'll do it.
Like a special episode of Oprah. We fitted Sarah in an enormous bra just to see if people would treat her differently. Much to our surprise, men kept their eye lines at bosom level. Many women say this is a problem. And then they cut to like, then they cut to Stone Phillips. Women call it, you know, whatever. And then like whatever the made up media term is. What do these people call it? They can't all just
be
called
it. I don't want to answer. You're talking about my bra.
you want to avoid any phone calls generated by breast discussion. Well, I'll take these. I'll take one for the team here. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is George. I'm calling about the lovely and delightful Lisa Goddard.
Please tell me you're not calling about her bra.
No, I'm calling about Lisa Goddard.
From CNN Radio.
Yeah.
Okay, how can I help you with Lisa Goddard?
There's three reasons a woman would laugh in your presence. She's either laughing at you, or you've caught her in a lie, or she's completely charmed by you, which is, I think, the third case in your case.
So you believe that Lisa Goddard is developing a small crush on me?
Not even a small one. I'd say a medium, large.
She's actually, that's what we now call a St. Clair. She's developing a small St. Clair.
We don't want it to end the same way, do we now?
No.
Well, we must hope that she's not listening.
She's in Washington, D.C. She's not listening. No one in Portland's even listening, dude, and we're in Portland, so.
Okay, that might be true. I don't think so. I've been telling my UPS driver about you. And
God bless you.
Hey, listen, can you ask her to post a photo on your website?
Lisa Goddard? Yeah, that won't be awkward at all. Look, I know that you're an accredited journalist and you went to, you know, Dartmouth or whatever. Can you just put like a...
Do you know what she looks like?
Can you put a leg shot on her? No, I have no idea. Somebody will find out. Somebody find out what Lisa Goddard looks like. And I know that sounds creepy, even as I say it.
And a little bio would be good, too. Hey, Rick, finish this sentence. Blah, 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 blah. Rick, I'm going to eat your...
soul.
Yeah, where is that guy?
I don't know. The I'm going to eat your soul guy's gone.
Oh, can I go out with a Brit Six and a Dean Scream, please?
Okay, yeah, thanks. Bye. All right, so Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
It's Josh.
Hi, Josh. How can I help you today?
Hey, I was just calling. I wanted to clarify a couple things about Shelton Williams.
Okay. Oh, yeah. about Hank 3. Okay.
Yeah. Just basically, I think Hank Jr., that's his middle name, too. His first name ain't Hank either.
Oh, is it like a family name where they pass it down from one guy to... And it should be noted, for the record, I'm a big Hank Jr. fan. Always have been.
I love Hank Jr.
Unashamed.
Hank 3 is good, too. I just wanted to say, you know, he's... that stuff he did where they did the ghost of his dad singing with him, that was a Hank Jr. I think Hank 3 was still in high school.
Was it Hank Jr. like needed a new swimming pool or something? And he's like, I got a son. I got to wait, hold on, I'll get him, hold on. You know, and they just like...
I guess Hank 3 went into the country because he got some girl pregnant and he said he needed to get some money
so that's
how Hank 3 got into it.
That's so sad.
Doing it. So
some people do it for love of music. Some people do it for, you know, paying off a zygote.
Yeah.
But he doesn't suck.
No, actually, pretty good. He does, like, you know, a rock show afterwards with, like, a metal punk kind of stuff and does the country. And his dad wanted to do the Grand Ole Opry tour, but he does small clubs.
All right. Okay, hey. Fair enough. I'll give him a chance then.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Josh.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. All right. It's, more people, these people calling. What are you sticking your chest out at me for? Oh, I'm sorry. Was that just stretching your back? See, because of the padded bra, I can't tell when you're sticking your chest out and when they're just sort of sticking
ample?
Themselves out.
Yeah.
When it's just sort of ample. And what an interesting word that is. It's always, that's a word you always see like in Dear Abby columns, you know? I am an attractive woman with ample features. All right, let's get one more and then, and never take any more calls. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this? Hi, hello.
This is Chris the Beer Guy.
Hi, Chris the Beer Guy. How are you, Chris the Beer Guy?
Doing pretty well. I was going to say, Hank Williams Sr.'s name's not even Hank or Henry. It's Hiram.
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 Hiram is totally, you know, the funny thing is you totally could have given me the Pepsi challenge on that and I would have known it was Hank Sr. because Hiram is, it's sort of like Ethel and Myrtle and Gladys and you know, Elmer. It's just one of those names that it stopped being made. They discontinued that name in like 32. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Chris.
All right. No problem.
All right. There you go. Let's be done talking about the many names of the Hank Williams dudes. And let's stop. Get a hold of ourselves right. You know, the other thing you'd have to wear, though, say, if you're going to start panning out your bra every day and prancing around the sales area. You know what else is? There's a lot of, you know, I've noticed in radio over the last few years, it's not just here, it's everywhere. A lot of big boots. A lot of saleswomen wearing like big Hellcats in heels.
Yeah, boots. They dress very nice here.
The Condi Rice boots. I mean, it's very, you know, so. Okay, here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat. Tim Riley reporting. 38-year-old Tony Woods, a former sixth grade teacher in Braxton County, received 4 to 20 years in prison.
Tony Woods, is the man?
No, this is a woman.
Oh, okay.
T-O-N-I.
Okay, thank God.
She was arrested last March after telling police she had sex with four boys, all under the age of 16. The former teacher said nothing outside of court, as a wedge of family and friends trying to hide her from photographer, and she's a woman who's more to love.
A wedge of friends. Is that like a pride of lions?
Mm-hmm.
What do you have? I have a wedge of friends. A wedge? If you were going to have a wedge of something, it wouldn't be a wedge of friends. You'd have a wedge of... Come on. Future Morning Show could be riding on this. If a pride of lions, a flock of geese, a whatever, a stalk of whatever, a wedge of...
Hank the Third.
All right, now, see, that's it. That's why we're here in middays.
Inside the courtroom, Wood said, quote, I was Wood. The monster these families think I am, unquote.
Right.
She tried to convince the court of bizarre behavior was linked to taking Prozac and diet pills. The judge wouldn't buy it. One victim's parents said Wood turned her son into a drinking, drug-using nobody she doesn't know.
That's fantastic.
Let's see. So,
Let me try to redeem myself with morning show humor here. Okay, read the first couple sentences of that story again.
38-year-old Tony Woods, a former sixth-grade teacher in Braxton County, received 4 to 20 years in prison. Woods was arrested last March after telling police she had sex with four boys, all under the age of 16.
Yeah, but if you add them all up together, it's just like she was sleeping with my dad.
Let's play Battle of the Sexes.
Good time. All right, that's not really very good. All right, well, there you go.
Legendary Star Wars creator George Lucas told a packed house the United States is a provincial country with a culture that has invaded the world via Hollywood. He made the comments as he was honored at a Global Vision Award. As long as they've been talking about Hollywood, Hollywood has had a huge impact on the rest of the world, he said. He discussed films and enhanced education with computer technology. There's got to be a conflict going on for thousands of years between the haves and the have-nots, and now we're in the position for the first time to show the have-nots what we don't have. This is a very boring speech. He endorsed a U.S. student studying abroad.
I can't care less about
it. I know, this is ridiculous. I mean, I'm bordering here. Let's just throw it away and move on to something else.
George Lucas,
can anything be more uninteresting?
All right, thank you.
Clusters of students whispered Tuesday afternoon in the hallways of Mount Desert Island Regional High School, this is in Maine, about the weekend police raid in which some of their classmates were nabbed for underage drinking.
Nabbed.
Mm-hmm.
All right, is that, they were nabbed by the gangbusters?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, apparently this is being caused by MySpace.
Oh, wait, hold on. You smell what I smell? I smell media hype week coming up. Mm-hmm. This is exactly, remember how it's like, it was sharks were going to kill your kids? And then it was, anthrax and bird flu, and then it was meth, and now it's MySpace.
And Facebook.com.
Facebook is like MySpace, but it's high school kids only, and I was reading about it, and I guess you actually have to be, you have to have like a student ID card, like you have to prove somehow that you're in school.
Maybe
to
you
use
have to bring your guidance counselor.
They don't want the trench coat, you know, like the old guys from the porn store showing up. So you have to like actually be a student. But yeah, Facebook is like MySpace. but it's only high schoolers.
Well, it's all the fault of MySpace and Facebook that at least 60 youths found their way to an isolated drinking camp at the far end of a narrow winding road in the town of Otis.
The town of Otis. Because Otis...
What's a drinking camp?
Where's Otis?
Well, you got to go to MySpace to find out.
A drinking camp.
Like, the Otis drinking camp. It was a wash in a sea of kids.
I just
each and every one of them was drinking or had been drinking.
What
they continued
gonna,
to drink when we got there.
What else are you gonna do?
There was carelessness at this party.
What else are you gonna? You're in Otis. What are you gonna do? I've never even been to Otis, and I know there's nothing
something
to do there.
Something must be done to reduce the possibility of date rape or other sexual offenses that may occur. This
in
is
Otis.
A dangerous environment that must be curbed.
All there is to do in Otis is to sit around and eat paint chips. That's all there is to do in a town like that.
At the far end of a narrow winding road.
Okay. And drinking camp. Is that like a radio when they send you to morning show boot camp? God. All right. Let's, hi, Rick Emerson Show. What's your beef?
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just calling. I didn't get to talk to you yesterday. What would you think of the Shield?
Oh, actually, I sort of deliberately skipped that yesterday because I wanted to, because people are slackers. No one has any drive these days. I talked about The Sopranos on Monday, and I got a whole bunch of, it's sitting on my TiVo, and I haven't watched it, and you ruined it from a bunch of sissies who didn't buckle down to watch it when it was on. So I waited a day. The Shield finale, I will say, it wasn't as intense as some regular episodes have been this season. It was really good, though. I mean, the Shield 90-minute season finale, which aired on Tuesday, Forrest Whitaker, end of season 5, it was really good, really intense. And again, if you don't want to hear any spoilers, everybody should tune out right now.
Yeah.
I thought Lem was going to kill himself. I didn't see Lem getting offed.
Yeah, I didn't. I had to replay it again on the TiVo because I didn't. He didn't see him grab the grenade.
No, I. But as soon as Shane and Lem met up underneath that bridge, I knew Shane was going to cap him. I knew as soon as Shane started talking to him, and Shane's like, "I got that baby girl on the way," and I'm like, "Oh, Lem is hosed. Shane is going to kill him." I hope it looks like they're going to continue this same story arc through next season because I want more of that Kavanaugh versus Vic thing, you know?
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to heat up a little bit more. And I actually thought that Kavanaugh was going to rape Corinne, and I thought that was going to be the twist.
Oh, and, well, see, and because he's crazy. That Kavanaugh guy's clearly going over the edge. He's not a well man, but he's the best sort of bad guy, if you want to call him that, that they've ever had on. He's the best adversary.
Yeah.
Vic Mackey's ever had. And I was wrong. I thought this Shield season would end with Vic either getting kicked off the force, being arrested. I thought it would end with Vic in a lot of trouble, going to jail, whatever. Here's the one thing I don't buy, though, about the Shield. I don't buy, because as they were walking away from Lem's body in the car, Vic and Ronnie and Shane are all going, you know, like, we're going to find the guy that did this and we're going to kill him.
Yeah.
And I don't buy that Vic doesn't know Shane did it. It's like, how could you not know that Shane did it? It seems so obvious. So I don't know if Vic was faking, if he really knows that Shane did it, or if they're going to make it like he doesn't know. But I mean, it's like, if you were Vic and you've already killed one cop with the guy.
Yeah.
It seems like you'd totally know.
Well, and especially another dead body, and those guys were nowhere to be found.
Exactly, and plus, it's like, who at this point possibly has any motivation to kill Lem other than those guys? It's like there's nobody else with a motive.
No.
So, yeah, I'll be curious to see how it unfolds. It's going to come back in January, I think.
And how many kids does Vic have?
I don't know, because they never really answered the question about Danny and who the father was.
And that informant, too, kind of sounded like maybe that was his kid also.
Oh, yeah, I know. Oh, I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because when Shane kind of made the comment about the retarded rat baby.
Because Vic's kids are autistic and so is her kid. Oh,
yeah.
I never thought about that. See, you're way ahead of me on that. Yeah, it's January, man.
Yeah.
Excellent.
All right,
thank you. There you go. All right, there you go. There's your Shield fuck. We skipped today because I didn't want to give it all away. We could talk real briefly about South Park, though. Am I the only one who watched South Park?
Yes.
South Park was... You don't even have cable
I
still.
Don't have
Are
cable.
You going to get cable?
I don't know. I haven't really missed it very much.
Well, it is kind of true that if you don't... If you're really busy...
Yeah, I'm too busy. I don't have time to watch it.
I feel like I have to have it because I feel like there's a bunch of shows on right now that I gotta know what's... Because people are talking about them and whatnot. But the South Park last night... It's one of those episodes that wasn't really all that funny, and it won't hold up. Like, in 10 years, if you're watching it, and you don't, you never, like, you weren't here in 2006, it won't make any sense. It's a total inside joke. It's a total ream on Scientology for 22 minutes. It's a total 22 minute. In fact, we've got a story about it coming up. Maybe at the bottom of the hour or at 2 o'clock we'll do it. But they killed Chef last night. They killed him really horrifically. They had him stabbed, impaled. He fell off a cliff, and then he was mauled by a grizzly bear and a mountain lion. And his face was torn off. So they killed Chef last night. And the entire episode was great because they made up all of his dialogue out of previous dialogue from the show. So, you know, they spliced up all of his old dialogue. And so it was a lot of like, hello there, children. You know, and he was, you know, hi, Chef.
So you could tell it was over the top.
It was, yeah, it was, you know, hi, Chef. How are things, you know, bad? Why is that? You know, and they made no attempt to hide it. It was fantastic. And the whole thing was a real thinly veiled shot at Scientology for, you know, apparently issuing that, man, that's a whole tangled web right now, that whole Scientology, Tom Cruise. It's like everybody's just trying to out-crazy everybody else. I'll be interested to see how all that plays out. All right, what if we, well, all right, we got a break here because we got Rube coming up. Let's tell you what, let's take a break here. We come back. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop is going to talk to us.
What are you going to talk about?
You know, he thinks we're going to talk about pollution. I don't really care about pollution.
Talk about the Wile E. Coyote in New York Central Park.
Yes, exactly. last night, Chef could barely contain himself as he was mauled to death by a wild animal. We'll be back after this. Later on, Jen Lane is going to be here from Barfly Magazine. We'll do the top five Aerosmith songs you never hear, and we'll go through this bland music collection. And plus, when we get back, don't forget, we'll read this thing about getting out of a ticket by being a Rick Emerson listener. You stay there. Don't go anywhere. It's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. Making a potty listening day. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Coming up later on, Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine, Jim Roop from CNN Radio Los Angeles. You got the top five Aerosmith songs that you never hear because the radio stations insist on just playing Sweet Emotion for the 9 millionth time. I'm sorry? What's it? Tim was...
How about More Than a Feeling from Boston?
Oh, man. Boston is one of those... I don't get sidetracked on this, speaking of Boston's band, but Boston is one of those bands that I can't tell if they're good or not because I don't ever... Do you have songs that you just don't remember not being burned out on? You know what I mean? Like, there's songs that you just... Like, I don't remember hearing More Than a Feeling for the first time ever. Like, I'm sure there was a time, and like, there must have been a day in my life when I had never heard More Than a Feeling.
During block party weekends?
And then, like, there was a day that I heard it, but I don't remember. Like, I don't remember thinking, but More Than a Feeling, what a fine song this is. I have no, it's like I just went straight from never having heard it.
That was me. I'm sorry. I'm learning the buttons. I'm terrible.
Cutting off the circulation to your head. Good times. You don't even want to see the bra email I'm getting. Okay, well, let me read this. Subject line of this email. And by the way, this is the Rick Emerson Show helping the community. All right.
Because we are licensed to serve.
Subject line is officer friendly. Rick. Let's see. Let me pre-read this. Please don't use my name or agency, as I have not converted the command staff, okay? So I'm going to read this here. Rick, in an attempt to spread the word about your show, I've managed to turn on a few of my fellow officers. As a gesture of our goodwill, we will usually be giving warnings instead of tickets to anybody that has a Rick Emerson or 970 sticker on their car. If only such things existed, and we're available.
Don't we have any old Rick Emerson stickers that we can cut the old station off?
Oh, we do, actually. We have all the ones with the microphone, the black and white ones.
A lot of those.
Those are cool-looking stickers.
Just take a pair of scissors, and they're good to go.
Yeah, Eric from 800 Octane designed those.
Look at you being all thinky. That's a great idea. Well, where are they? They're at your house? I don't have them. Tim?
Not at my house.
Okay.
Are they in your box?
They're being given away in an Intercom prize pack right now.
Yeah.
It's like when...
I remember when we first went to Entercom. We first went to Entercom, not to dwell. We first went there and we were doing a party. And we didn't have anything to give away, and they gave me Gustav and Daria in the morning glow-in-the-dark toothbrushes. That's what they gave me to give away. I'm like, yeah, but don't we have anything with our station? No, give these away. And like that, so there I am, like at a listener event, like, hey, thanks for listening. Here's a toothbrush from a station that
you don't listen to.
From a morning show that doesn't exist anymore. Here you go. Anyway, he says, we'll be giving warnings instead of tickets to anybody who has a Rick Emerson or 970 sticker in their car. Clearly, he says, this only applies to minor traffic violations. We will still be arresting people for DUIs and towing cars for no insurance. If I know your listeners, this is probably between 30 and 70% of your entire audience on a given Friday or Saturday. Please don't use my name or agency, as I have not converted the command staff yet. People with Entercom stickers will be shot on sight. There you go. That's from one of Portland's finest right there. I won't use his name or his agency. That's what I'm talking about. Yep. That's it. We're in with the man.
And by the way, people are getting busted on the max for not having their max tickets, so you better buy some.
I never buy that, though. When you're on the max and there's that...
Well, if you're outside the free zone, I mean, if you're inside the free zone, it's okay, but once you leave outside...
Well, they have those, like, the hieroglyph things, like, so if you can't speak English, and there's, like, they have, like, the no food, and it's like a hamburger with a slash through it, and they have the no music, and it's like the boombox, and then for the little symbol for must have ticket, it shows, like the silhouette of the Gestapo guy, and then it shows the frightened citizen holding up the stub.
Yeah.
And it's, but what can they do? Like, and I've wondered this, and no one's ever been able to tell me. If I'm on the max...
Mm-hmm.
If I'm on the max and a guy comes up and he's like, ticket, please, and I say, you know, I just forgot it. Or if I lie. If I just didn't buy it, but I go, you know, it was just here, but I can't find it. What can he do to me? Like, especially if I don't have ID. Like, if I don't have my wallet on me and he's like, ticket, please, and I say, you know, just I happen to forget it. What if I just did that every day? If I don't have my wallet, he can't give me a ticket because he's going to ask me my name, and I'm just, you know, he's going to ask me my name, and I'm just going to say Matt Peterson. So, you know, it doesn't matter. So what can they can't really enforce that, can they? I'm not advocating, by the way, that you break the law. But I just don't think there's anything they can do about it. I think it seems there's no recourse. What recourse do they have? Because it is a form of legal punishment that is entirely dependent upon you giving them your name. Because they can't arrest you. The TriMet cop didn't have handcuffs or a gun or anything.
I don't think so.
He just has a sissy ticket book. Screw that guy. He can't do anything to you. I'm not saying you should defy him. I'm saying he wields no real authority.
Yeah.
All right. What are we doing? Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Breathing the clean, crystal sweet air of Los Angeles. See, thank you. Right. Look at this. Into that comedic timing. CNN radio correspondent. Jim Roop, how are you, sir?
I am well, sir. Thank you for having me again.
Not at all. Now, you should know in advance, I don't really care about the air in Los Angeles, but there's certain things we have to lie to Laura at CNN about in order to get you on the show. Doesn't matter to me. Although you should be made aware of this, that according to the CNN prep sheet today, you are reporting on the air in Los Angeles, which gives Los Angelians the highest air cancer, you know, connection rate, blah, blah, blah. Yet, meanwhile, in New York, they got Gary Baumgarten giving exactly the same story with the same stats about New York. Apparently, you are both the number one cancer air connection city in the country.
Well, they are number one with bad air. We're number one in Los Angeles. We have twice the cancer risk rate.
Oh, so just for cancer from everything.
Right.
Well, good
because
for you.
Basically because of the diesel. What these guys are doing or what the EPA is not saying, that the Metropolitan or the Air Quality Management District here is saying, is that the reason our air is a lot cleaner than it was in the 50s, and in spite of the fact that you can't smoke anywhere in the state, you know, there's all kinds of standards for emissions for factories and cars and everything else, we still have this kind of cancer risk because the federal government doesn't regulate emissions from trains and ocean-going ships and things like that. So they're blaming the feds for our dirty air.
Ah, I see. Okay, now that does actually make a lot of sense because I lived, you know, when I was living in California, which is a few years ago now, that they were already starting to crack down on it. Nobody could smoke. You couldn't smoke. What is it? You can't smoke in any public restaurant. What is it exactly?
You can't smoke anywhere. In the city of Calabasas, you can't smoke anywhere but inside your home.
See, and the reason I care about that is because California is sort of the forward. Like, what happens in California one year happens everywhere, like here 2 years later.
It'll happen. And now every city is banning smoking on beaches. One of the last cities to do that is the city of Torrance in the South Bay.
Right.
And they're all upset now because their beaches are becoming, you know, L.A. County's ashtray. Everybody wants to go to the beach and smoke. They go down to Torrance.
See, and I got to tell you, every time, like, no matter where I'm going, if I'm going to San Diego or whatever, it's like I always end up flying into LAX for some reason. And you know what? It's such a cliche, but it's so true. When you're flying into Los Angeles and you just get to that,
the cloud of dirt,
and it's like you're flying through mud.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, part of the fact that we live in a desert valley surrounded by mountains, that inversion layer keeps everything hanging in there, and unless you get a strong wind or a good rain. I mean, you're sucking that crap in for days.
An inversion is a term that I'd never heard until, and it wasn't even in L.A. that I heard it. I heard that in Utah
Well, they have a bad one in Utah, too.
Salt Lake, it's like, you know what I always describe it as, and people don't appreciate how bad this is. You go to a place like, L.A. or Salt Lake, because, it's, again, Salt Lake, ringed by mountains, it's like living in the U-joint of a sink.
Exactly.
Because everything gets trapped there, and it just stays, the mountains trap it in. The mountains just trap everything there, and it's like, it's like you're just breathing dirt. It's like you're walking outside and just breathing soil, except it's not quite as clean.
Right.
That's totally what it is. So
it really is bad.
So we're all going to die of cancer. That's basically the upshot. The cancer and garbage disposals will get us all in the end. You will get it from the air. I will get it from the plutonium-laced milk in my hometown, but we're all going to be dead at about the same time.
Well, there you go.
So there's just a life-affirming message from the...
Heaven will get overcrowded.
Yes.
Because I know we're both going there.
speaking of dying prematurely, by the way, I got to ask you about this real quick. I don't know if you're covering this now. Did they postpone Spector's trial, right?
Yeah, till September.
And why... Wasn't it like 10 years ago that he shot this woman?
It was 3 years ago. It was February of 2003 that he allegedly shot her.
Yeah, I'm sure. As soon as I get that cancer, by the way, as soon as the doctor tells me I've got a golf ball-sized tumor in my head, I'm going to go to L.A. and start killing some people, because it takes you guys like half a decade to even arrest somebody and then to get them on trial.
Well, now the prosecutor and just one defense attorney have a couple of scheduling conflicts, so they're going to push this thing another 6 months. This guy, he'll never see the inside of a courtroom.
No, and he's...
He can get a job as a ranch hand somewhere.
Completely, totally.
And start paying off that $30 million. A dollar a month.
For there you go.
So, it's like, I'm not I'm not making light of it or whatever, but I mean, good God. I mean, I know the wheels of justice grind slowly, but hell. So, yeah, Spector's, he's going to be dead, and he's going to be dust on somebody's mantelpiece by the time they finally get this rolling.
He might even off himself. He's that weird.
He does. He
is such a strange guy.
He is. I mean, I've read this book. There's this book called He's a Rebel, which is one of the kind of definitive biographies of Phil Spector, and he's like 9 different shades of crazy. I mean, you know, everybody's heard all the stories about, like, him recording the Ramones and waving guns in the studio, and that's stories that, you know, it's like all those references that Kurt Cobain made to guns that we all sort of giggled at, like, oh, listen to that, he's so cute, he's talking about guns, you know, and it's like, then they find him one day, you know, and like, you know, hatless, and so you all those things sort of take on a sinister meaning in retrospect.
Absolutely.
All right. Jim Root, we'll try not to breathe the air.
Okay.
And give yourself a good scrubbing tonight.
I will. Thank you.
All right, there you go. Jim Roop in Los Angeles. There you go. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. God love him. Did we do the city desk here?
No, I'm just kind of hanging around.
just lingering.
Yeah. I'm just loitering.
You're afraid if you leave, they'll fire you.
Yeah.
You don't want to leave the studio. As long as you're in here with the mic on, they can't fire you.
Yeah, my rectangular door opener might not work the next time I return.
Oh, man, I got that scare, though. I got these, we all have these, like, retarded plastic, these differently abled plastic cards that we have to carry around. And they open, because everywhere you go in this building, do you realize everywhere you go, there's a computer tracking you? Because all of the doors have little, you have to wave the card, and it goes, cheep, cheep, and it lets you in.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a code you punch in. Mm-hmm. So at any given time, they know where you are in the building by where this card, because the computer follows the card everywhere you go. And so I got this bad scare. I went over to the KUFO building, which is where some of the management is. And it's like my card wouldn't work. And like I waved it in front of the thing and it went, denied. And it's totally, just no. You just totally get that sinking feeling. Well, let's do quick news desk.
Sure.
And then we'll come back and so forth. So here's Tim Riley at the city desk.
Top to bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat. Jim Riley reporting.
I love this sound there. I got to tell you that. I
put this together during my period of unemployment.
During, I've during what we're calling the unpleasantness part two. Yeah. I've never really commented on how great that music is. Is that old CBS News?
That is old B-movie music from the 1950s.
Out of my
private collection.
We got from the estate of Tim Riley.
That's right.
We totally got to get some of that old CBS music, though, that they used to use, like, back in the day. Like,
all right.
Some of that, you know, 50s and 60s CBS TV news stuff.
I'll be working on that.
All right. Get on that.
Sure. Let's get right to the religious nutcase watch.
Here's your religious nutcase watch for Thursday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Line Rome, they're high around the waist, wide around the leg, and have lots of pockets for holding watches, bracelets, glasses, or other knickknacks. A new line of jeans designed by a small company in northern Italy caters to Muslims seeking to stay comfortable while they pray. As far as we know, we're the first, at least in Italy, says Lucia Corradi, who designs El Kados jeans. The bagginess is to ensure the weaver avoids stiffness while bending down repeatedly during prayer. The pockets are for holding all the accessories Muslims hold, like those long swords that they whack each other over the head with.
Or explosives.
That they made in America on them.
Explosives with which to blow up infidels.
That too.
Yeah. Cut the heads off of cartoonists.
Apparently, testing went into the product with models being asked to try different versions of the jeans while they prayed. The company's website advertises the jeans as a new expression for an old tradition. The woman said they did not intend to market the jeans exclusively to Muslims.
This really sounds like a joke. This really sounds like some third-rate Mad TV sketch right here. Mm-hmm. All right.
That's today's religious.
There's your religious nutcase watch. They can't find quite the right clothing to hold a scimitar.
On the TV tonight, those aboard that smoldering cruise ship might enjoy watching HBO's Titanic, which begins at 5 o'clock.
You know, I belong to Netflix. And Netflix, you know what they don't stock? They still don't have it, at least as of last week. They don't have that special edition Titanic that came out like 6 months ago. You know, the one that's got like three of it's like a three-disc set, and it's got Cameron's commentary, it's got Kate Winslet. It's got a huge documentary about it. It's like that because it's almost the 10th anniversary of that film.
Wow!
Because we're all old, and but I'm trying to and I'm unashamed of my love for Titanic. And anybody that doesn't agree with me can eat it. And I'm trying to find it. And I don't want to pay full price for it. So I'm trying to like rent it on Netflix, but I'm unable to locate it.
How can people run through water that's up to their neck?
I don't know.
It happens a lot that movie.
I don't know why didn't he just get on the freaking the floaty wood thing with the Kate Winslet? No one knows.
Anyway, what else is a? I guess this is a biography of Ray Romano. Jamie Foxx in the movie entitled Ray. It's on Cinemax.
Ray.
And then on Sundance is Evelyn, the cutest Evil Dead girl, whatever that is.
Okay.
That's on TV tonight. And let's see. Oh, Spanglish, that Adam Sandler classic.
Oh, God, boy, and I had to watch that too. I had to.
Was how
one
was
of those,
that?
Yeah. How do you think it was? I mean, the kindest thing I can say about Spanglish is that it was not as terrible as I thought it was going to be. But it's like, and I know that, and I don't dislike Adam Sandler as a person. He seems like a good guy, you know? And I mean, I don't know him, obviously, but I mean, he, I'll say this. Adam Sandler's a charismatic guy. He's very likable. Yeah. I will say that. Adam Sandler's a likable guy.
He's not dislikable.
He's not Rob Schneider. And Rob Schneider's a guy who I would gladly set Rob Schneider on fire and then just kick him down a hill into a toilet. With no qualms at all. No salt. Big grains of salt. Occasionally I find myself saying things these days and I remind myself of Milton from Office Space for reasons that I can't quite quantify. And I remind myself of Milton going, I didn't get a piece, and saying, it was salt in my glass. Big grains of salt. Whatever. Anyway, don't watch Spanglish. Just go out, read a book. Go outside and breathe some clean air. You're not in California. Stay in the house and watch it. Why don't you just take a power sander to your face, you know? And here's Tim Riley.
Universal Pictures announces it's going to be the world's first download-to-own film service online. It'll be launched April 10th, marking the first legitimate means of downloading and owning a movie release, according to the company. Currently, movies can be legally downloaded for a short rental period, but
You'll be able to access the film at midnight on the day the DVD is released. It'll be provided in three formats: a file for downloading to a computer, a file to use on a portable device, and a DVD copy sent by mail.
And this costs how much for a film?
Okay, here we go. It'll cost $40.46.
And there you go. A great idea. Failed already.
A collection of 35 films, including King Kong, Pride and Prejudice, The Bourne Supremacy, and Bridget Jones' Diary will be given.
Okay.
And all Universal plans to have all of its 6,500 movies available for downloading. Downloading time, 40 minutes to an hour.
Bad idea, not going to work. Big failure. Piracy rules. You know, that's totally, that's exactly how this is going to unfold in the minds of the consumer. $40 to wait 40. I could walk to the store in 40 minutes, and I could rent it for like a dollar. So for $40, the idea, and it's not even a physical thing. It's not going
to
have any.
You could walk to Target and buy it for $19.
I could go to work and earn the money to buy it. And so you get some average guy who's just going to continue to get it on the internet. It's no one ever listens to us. No one anywhere ever listens to us. All right, that's Tim Riley. All right. Let's take a break here. When we come back, we'll try to get caught up with a few things. We got Jen Ling coming up. We're going to work our way through this bland music. Oh, and somebody sent us a picture of Lisa Goddard from CNN. All right, we'll talk about that when we get back. Good times. That's all coming up. Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine, top five Aerosmith songs you never hear because they're never played anywhere. Later on, like us at 3 World Famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. You stay right there. We will continue after this.